In the book of Luke, if you would please, Luke chapter 2 and verse 10, they quoted this and referred to this earlier, but I want to talk a little bit more about it. Luke 2 and 10, it says the angel had said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." That is the definition of the gospel. Good tidings or good news. If it's not good news, it's not the gospel. Now I say that because a lot of religious groups have changed it into another gospel, which is not the gospel, a message of suffering is what they preach. But that's not good news.
No.
Huh? The giving of Jesus, God becoming flesh, coming to pay the price for us, the cross, you know, it should be considered with the greatest reverence. But Jesus is not on the cross.
Amen.
Huh? The work of the cross is done. It's complete. And we shouldn't just focus on and be sad and cry about the cross. We should think about what it accomplished for us. What was gained. What the Lord bought for us. And so the giving of Jesus, the giving unto us, a son is given, a child is born. This is the greatest gift that's ever been given to anybody, anywhere, that we have any knowledge of. Because in the giving of Him is the giving of our salvation, our eternal life. Now we hear these words, but it's easy for them to just go past you. Did you hear that term? Eternal life. Eternal life is more than existing forever. Eternal life is existing forever, experiencing life as God Himself knows it. We have little concept of what that is, but I assure you, you want it. Right? You want it. And thank God if you've received Jesus, you have it. He said, the angel said to them, "Fear not, behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior." Now, just last year and the year before, especially, it was becoming unpopular to say Christmas. Well, we don't go for that. Right? What is Christmas? Notice the rest of this verse. He said, "Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Everybody say, a Savior.
A Savior.
Christ,
Christ
the Lord.
Lord.
That's what Christmas is about. Now, if you look up the word Christmas, it comes from the Latin and it comes from the Greek. And it was in more recent times, when I say that I mean hundreds of years past, Christ Mass. But then the back further from that, the Greek was Christos, which means anointed. Hallelujah. It refers to the Messiah, the anointed one who was prophesied to come. Everybody say, the anointed one. So Christ or Christos is anointed, and Mass had to do with celebration. So Christmas is supposed to be a celebration of the Christ. Hallelujah. Celebration of the Christ. And it's fine if we want to eat turkey. If we want to put up a tree and put ornaments on it and give gifts to everybody and sing jingle bells, that's okay, that's okay. But don't lose sight of celebrating the Christ. Celebrating the Christ. We start with that. We keep that in the middle. We finish with that. And nothing else supersedes it. Nothing else replaces it. Oh, it's been replaced in a lot of places and a lot of homes. But no, we gladly celebrate the Christ.
Thank you, Lord.
Celebrate the Anointed One. Now, I touched on this some last week, but I want to go further with it. I got stirred up about it. The more I thought about it, I thought, man, this is good. This is good. The Anointed One and His anointing. Hallelujah. The Bible said in Isaiah, we referred to this last week, but Isaiah 10:27 says, it'll come to pass in that day that His, talking about the enemy's burden, shall be taken away from off your shoulder and His yoke from off your neck. And the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. What did Jesus come to do? Who is He? He is the Anointed One. He is our Savior, the Christ. Well, what does anointing mean and what is it for? And is it, does it still exist? The anointing. Anointing had to do with the pouring of oil on people, signifying that they were special and set apart for holy and divine things, but it also symbolized equipping and enabling divine power to complete the job of the chosen one. When Jesus, the Word became flesh, and He was born as the children portrayed. He was not just another baby born into the earth. He is the Anointed One. And when He was about 30 years of age and baptized in the River Jordan, when He came up out of the river, the Bible said the Holy Spirit came on Him in a bodily shape and form as a dove, and after that, He came out of the wilderness in the power of the Spirit. Hallelujah. And when He preached and spoke, it was with power. And when He laid hands on people, it was with power. And there were deliverances and healings and miracles. This all happened only after the Holy Spirit came on Him, after He was anointed. The anointing was working in Him from birth. But then the anointing also came on Him without measure as He began His earthly ministry. Can you say thank you, Lord?
Thank you, Lord.
And what was the anointing doing? All the way back to Isaiah, what did He say? The yoke shall be destroyed. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Anybody happy about this?
Amen.
The yoke shall be destroyed. What's a yoke? A yoke is bondage. Something that is enslaving you. Something that is restricting you. And a burden is something heavy that's pushing down on you, pressing, loading, pressing. Why did Jesus come? Huh? He came to get the heavy things off of you. He came to break the yoke of limitation and bondage off of you. Not just you, not just me, but everybody that would ever live if they would receive it. Somebody say, I receive it. I receive it. The Scripture said, this is the fast I've chosen, to loose the bonds, to undo the bands of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke. Oh, somebody say, break every yoke. Break every yoke. Every yoke. Now, there'll be millions of people this Christmas that won't enjoy Christmas because they are burdened. They are oppressed with confusion and death and even thoughts of suicide. There are those that are, it's the same as if they were in chains inside a jail cell, locked up with chemical dependency, alcoholism, drug addiction, in a mess of lies and defeat and deception and all these things. And many of them feel like there's no way out. They're in bondage. They're in darkness. They're oppressed. But that's why Jesus came. That's why there was a babe in the manger. That's why we could not loose ourselves. We were human beings were powerless to deliver ourselves. We couldn't get the yoke off of us. We couldn't get the weight off of us by ourselves. Nobody could. Nobody's strong enough to get it off. Nobody's smart enough to get it off. It's why God had to send. And Jesus had to come. He was the only one that could do it for us. And He did it. Oh, somebody say, He did it. 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 Jesus said this. He said, come unto me. Huh? Put it on the screen, Matthew 11:28. Anybody know He said it? Matthew 11:28. He said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy loaded. Huh? Heavy loaded. And I'll put some more stuff on you. Now you're laughing. But religion does. Religion does. One of the most evil, cruel things in the world is religion. It will hurt you. It'll rob you. It'll use you. It'll kick you to the curb and then give you scriptures why it's all right.
That's right.
Oh, it's evil. I said it's evil. Jesus talked about this. He said to the scribes and Pharisees, He said, you bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and you lay them on men's shoulders, but you yourself won't move one of them with your finger. You won't lift a finger. That's where we get that. You won't lift a finger to help somebody. No, God is not putting burdens on people. He's getting them off of people. Huh? And religion will oppress you. It's sad, but there are some places you go. You're supposed to be going to God, but you will get loaded up with condemnation, with guilt, with shame. You'll be told over and over, you're not this and you're not that. And you can't do this and you're just a lowly worm, just an old sinner. And you don't deserve and you don't deserve. And you're not going to get and you're not. And you should be doing this, shame on you. And you ought to be doing this, shame on you. No, Jesus came and took the shame on Him. He took it on Him. And if you believe it, it comes off of you. When you believe it and you receive what He did, the guilt comes off of you. The shame comes off of you. The condemnation comes off of you. The oppression leaves you. Ooh, I ought to preach this to myself. What do you think? What do you think? Is this right?
Yes.
Oh, He said, this night a child is born, a son is given. Who is He? A Savior.
Yes, sir.
Who is He? Christ, the Anointed One, the Lord. And what does the Christ, who is the Christ? The Anointed One. What does the anointing do? Oh, it removes every heavy burden. And it destroys. That word is destroy. It's the word for shatter. In fact, one of the translations says, and the yoke shall be shattered before the oil. the manifestation of the anointing. Hallelujah. What better present this Christmas?
Amen.
Than to get a load taken off of you. Huh? These are presents you can't afford to buy. These are presents that cost too much. But Jesus paid for it. Hallelujah. So to you and me, it's free. How about getting free from a bondage? Huh? Getting free from a bondage of lying and hiding and deceiving. Getting free from the bondage of the past and the guilt and shame. Getting free from any kind of addiction. Spending addiction? Huh? Is somebody going to help me with this or not? Huh? Yeah? Drug addiction, including, you know, drugs you would get from the doctor. It doesn't matter. Prescription, whatever it is. Can you be free if anything is a yoke on you? If anything's choking you? Anything's pushing down on you? It's not the will of God. It's not the will of God. And even though you may not know how to get free, there is something. There is someone. And there is something that can get it off of you. It's the anointing. Oh, somebody say the anointing. It's the anointing. It's the anointing. In Luke 4 and 16, we have reason to think Jesus quoted this verse, read this verse, and preached this multiple times and places in his ministry. That it was his, He did this on a regular basis. He came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. Custom. There it is right there. What are y'all laughing about? It was his custom. I got it now. He went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and he stood up for to read. And what did he read? Huh? There was delivered to him the book of the prophet, and this is Isaiah. And when he opened the book, he found the place where it was written. Now, also in Isaiah was this what we just got through quoting, the yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing. That's also in that same book. And he opened the place and he found where it was written, verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me. To what? Proclaim and preach the good news to the poor. What's good news to the poor? Sorry, but it's God's will for you to be poor. That ain't good news. That's not good news. What's good news to the sinner? You can be free from sin. What's good news to the lost? You can be saved. What's good news to the sick? You can be healed. What's good news to the poor? You got it. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, and to do what? Set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. The Bible said in Acts 10 how that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power. He went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed, pressed, burdened, loaded, laden, all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. This is one of the main things in Jesus' life and ministry. He would stand up. He would read that passage. He would say, the Spirit of the Lord's on me to do all these things for you. And then he would say, today, this scripture is fulfilled right here, right now. Amen. Wanting somebody to believe it. Yeah. And when they did, healings, deliverances, miracles, burdens removed, yokes destroyed, the devil unhappy, and the people free, and God glorified. Oh, somebody say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Well, the scripture said that is why Jesus came. We're talking about the Why Christmas? What's the purpose of it? What happened? What were the children portraying? In 1 John, put it on the screen, please. 1 John 3 and 8. It'll only take a little bit longer. 1 John 3, 8. The latter part of it says, "For this purpose the Son of God was manifested." Now, this is not somebody's theory or opinion. Why did this happen? Why was the baby born? Why was the Son given? Why did the Word become flesh? For this purpose. That He might what?
Destroy
the works of the devil.
Amen.
Well, who's in the yoke business? Huh? Who's in the burden business? The Amplified I like on this. It said the reason the Son of God was made manifest was to undo. And that's what that word means here. Undo. And he goes on to amplify. To destroy, loosen, and dissolve the works the devil has done. Between man's disobedience and rebellion and sin and the devil's work and curse and death, the earth and the people in it are in a mess.
Hmm?
And without the Lord, all hopelessly lost. But because there was a baby born, because there was the star in the sky, because of all these things, you and I have the option, if we'll believe, of having all the evil works of the devil undone where we're concerned. Even if it took him decades to get this custom yoke on you and choke you. And you know, some things are passed from generation to generation, not just because you had to have it, because you learned it when you were a child and you accepted it and you think that way. But no, it can be broken. It can be shattered. It can be removed and you can be free. You, your children, your children's children, your uncles and your aunties, your grandma, your grandpa, your neighbor, your co-worker. Jesus came to undo, to destroy the works of the devil. That's why he came. That's why he came. Religion will tell you something else, but we're reading the Bible, brother, sister. Now, here's something we want to not let escape us. We know from what we've already seen and heard what the anointing did. But Jesus tells us that we are like Him in this world. And that if we'll believe on Him, the works He did, we'd do also. And even greater works.
Amen.
His words. Right? Will the anointing still do today what it did then?
Yes.
Is it still doing? 2 Corinthians 1:21 says, "He which establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us is God." Anointed us? Are we called of God? Are we in Christ? Are we anointed? Hmm? 1 John 2:27. 1 John 2:27 says, "The anointing which you have received of Him abides in you." Abide means lives in you. If you're in Christ and He's in you and His Spirit is in you, the anointing lives in you. What anointing? What anointing? Not some different anointing. Same anointing. What did the anointing used to do? Remove burdens. Destroy you. What does it do now? Same thing. Same anointing. Same thing. Say it out loud. I'm born of God. And the anointing lives inside me. Ooh, if that don't make you happy, I don't know what to say. Say it again. The anointing
lives
inside me. Now, it's not just for you. It's for people around you, too. Remember Acts 1, when the Lord told them, you know, when he ascended on high, he said, you know, but you stay, you tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. And he said, you shall receive, Acts 1:8, you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost part of the earth. Read it again. What will happen? You will receive power after the Holy Spirit is come upon you. Isn't that exactly what happened with Jesus? Yes. He was baptized in the River Jordan. When he came up out of the water, the Holy Spirit came on him. And the next thing we read, he came out of there in the power of the Spirit. And that's when we begin to see these miracles, these healings, these deliverances, all these things happen. And it was because of the anointing. The anointing. Can it be true that the anointing is in us?
Yes.
Can it be true that the anointing is on us to be witnesses? Now, you don't have to be pushy. You don't have to try to push something off on somebody that doesn't want to hear it. But you want to be ready to testify. Anywhere, anytime, unashamed, right? Not embarrassed. What? Why? What does it mean? You shall be witnesses. And we're talking about eyewitness. An eyewitness is evidence. Evidence. What do you mean? Not hearsay, but an eyewitness. When something comes up, and if somebody is willing to hear it, and you say, and they say, well, I need this or I need that. And you can say, well, I had a similar situation. And the Lord did this for me. People say, well, it didn't happen. Hey, I was there. I was there. I'm a witness of what the Lord did for me. He saved me. He forgave me. He washed me. He filled me. He healed me. He thrilled me. I was there. I was there. So wherever you are, on the job, at the grocery store, in the parking lot. If somebody don't want to hear it, don't try to push it off on them. But if they're willing, especially if you can see they're heavy loaded. They're heavy loaded. They're oppressed. They got a yoke. And if they're open to it, you can say, hey, let me tell you, the Lord set me free.
Amen.
Huh? Yes. He took it off of me.
Yes.
He broke it off of me.
Yes.
Can I pray for you?
Yes.
Right? And acting on that kind of thing, if somebody will believe it, the anointing will manifest.
Hallelujah.
You don't have to be a preacher. You don't have to know Greek or Hebrew or any of those things. Huh? You don't. You don't. All you got to do is willing to be a witness. Look at it again. You shall receive power after the Holy Spirit is come on you, and you will be a witness. All you got to do is say yes. I'm not ashamed to tell what the Lord did for me. If you don't want to hear it, I'll be quiet, you know, unless you're at my house. Yeah, you can't tell me to be quiet at my house. But if somebody is willing to hear it, huh? There's an opportunity for another one to get free. For another one to have that heavy stuff lifted off of them and to have that yoke destroyed. Stand on your feet, everybody.